This episode is brought to you in partnership with Life Kitchens. Life create kitchens to be lived in, planned around your life and the way you live it. Explore their unique ranges and book a design consultation for a personal and practical approach to kitchens. Visit life-kitchens.co.uk.
I enjoy always having a new idea. I never like repeating ideas. It doesn't work. It has to belong to the place you're working in and to the people you're working for.
Hello, I'm Carol Annett from Country and Townhouse magazine. Welcome to the House Guest podcast, where I chat with experts from the world of interior design and decoration, the people behind the houses, hotels, shops and brands you see in glossy magazines like ours. If you listen on the Entail app, there's more information and images on the projects and people mentioned. And if you're doing up your own home, hopefully you'll pick up some tips for yourself. My house guest today is Arabella Lennox-Boyd, who, with almost half a century of soil and toil under her belt, has created over 600 gardens, including those for Sting and Trudy Styler, the King and Queen of Belgium, and the Hotel Le Bristol in Paris. Arabella says there are few practices that have worked on as varied a palette as mine, from major English country estates to contemporary roof spaces in Asia. Welcome, Arabella. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's really lovely to see you, albeit over Zoom, but the sun is shining and I'm not sure it's shining with you where you are, hence why you're able to sit down and be inside for a change, because I'm sure you spend the majority of your time outside with a spade in your hand, don't you?
Well, I do. I mean, sadly, I spend most of my time outside in the rain. I'm used to it. And apparently it's very good for your skin. So, we're very lucky because it rains, but it also has the most glorious days. And when the sun shines, it's really fantastically beautiful here. And somehow the light in the north is very, very beautiful. So I can't complain.
And so when you say here, that's Gresgarth Hall in Lancashire, your own home.
Yes, that's it. At the moment I'm here. I'm spending most of my time here.
And you say that you would not normally have ever imagined having such an enormous garden of your own to look after. And I understand it's sort of marrying an Italian style, which is your heritage, with British planting. Could you give us a little taster of what you've done at Gresgarth?
Well, Gresgarth was sort of very different from, it's probably completely different to any of my other jobs, because I'm in a little valley surrounded by very high hills covered in trees. So it's very intimate. It's got a lovely river running through it and the house is next to the river. It's quite shady. It doesn't have any views. So I had to create my views. And there was nothing really of in any way formal around the house because of the hills and because of the natural landscape surrounding it. So the only bit of formality which I really needed to have, I created around the house, and then the garden sort of melts into the landscape which surrounds it.
And I love the way that you describe your style as controlled mastery with unkempt freedom. It sort of made me think of a hairstyle, you know, with a sort of maybe a sort of smart chignon and where somebody's just come and pulled a few bits out to make it more interesting.
Well, I think you have to give a garden a structure in order for it to then become untidy. I don't think you can start with untidiness. So your structure is useful in the winter because it gives you something to look at and to hold on to somehow. And that is, done with paving and topiary and hedges. And also sometimes the way you prune things, you prune them in a way that looks beautiful in the winter because the trunk has been allowed to show its beautiful shape. And the way you prune your roses can be absolutely beautiful in the winter if the shape is good. So I suppose that is what you start from. You think, you know, winter is quite long. And then as the seasons develop, the edges get more and more blurred and the the borders become higher and develop the shapes that make it so interesting.
What was it that sparked your interest in gardens in the first place?
I think it's my love of nature, and I would say that first comes nature and your surroundings. And gardens are really an imposition that we put on nature. I grew up in the countryside, so I always needed to have the green and the trees around me and the natural vegetation, which I used to admire far more than looking at the olive trees, which I was supposed to look at.
And you say I don't like gardens that immediately present themselves to you. There has to be a sense of mystery.
Well, I like to feel that you're not looking at a photograph which shows everything at once. I mean, of course, in a way, as you walk into a garden, you see a picture. But I always like to feel that there is something which takes your attention away from that picture and invites you to walk beyond and into and through and have the different sensations that each space can give you.
So do I take it from that you're more comfortable with large spaces rather than small, more compact? I mean, I know you did a beautiful little garden for the Hotel Bristol in Paris. And is it more difficult if it's a small courtyard garden?
No, not really. But particularly the Bristol, I think that you have different views of the garden from every side. And that is why I planted the pleached hornbeams and I put the trellis, because that gives you a vertical dimension. And also it stops your view as you're looking at it, you know, as you're walking into it. You wonder, I wonder what's behind that trellis and that piece of topiary. So you can create the same sort of effect in a smaller space. I mean, obviously you can't do it in a tiny little London garden, because then that becomes another room. I have nothing against rooms. So in a way, in a London garden, you could always imagine you could walk through that wall and go into the countryside, but actually you can't.
And tell us about some of the more extraordinary places that you have created gardens all over the world.
Well, I suppose the most obvious answer to that is, you know, when I was asked to design a garden in Barbados. Well, I knew my tropical plants from having been a trustee at Kew Gardens for years. And so I knew plants that grew in the greenhouses and in the big conservatories. But actually, I had to learn about these plants. And I was very lucky to be able to spend some time there and actually go to the local botanic garden, which is something I always like to do when I garden somewhere I haven't been before and I don't know about. And so I learned about these different plants, the tropical trees and shrubs. And that was a challenge because, of course, I didn't realize how quickly everything grows, which was a delight, really, because you immediately get an effect. After 2 or 3 years, you have a garden which is more or less grown up, as opposed to having to wait 5 or 6 years in this country.
And what about your trips to go and find new plants? I understand you've been to Kazakhstan and all sorts of places. Is that something you really enjoy, finding new seeds?
Well, I think that it's more than finding seeds. It's really looking at these amazing landscapes, which you have no idea of. And also seeing the amount of wonderful plants, which we, you know, have to buy to put in our gardens. And there they are growing wild in fields and fields of 2 or 3 plants in perfect combinations of color, and trees that are, you know, again, that you've bought in a nursery and actually you see it growing wild on a hill or a mountain. And the adventure of the whole thing is wonderful. I like the sense of adventure of traveling in these wonderful places and learning about their history and architecture and landscape.
And is it really the rare trees and shrubs that are a particular passion?
I think the passion is to find even very ordinary trees just growing where they're meant to grow. And that is a terrific learning experience, because we tend to think that trees need to be mollycoddled. And actually, when you see them growing in the wild, you'll find trees growing on rocks or in a bog or in places where you would never dream of planting them. So that's very interesting. And it really teaches you about the tree that you're planting and trying to copy or at least give it what it really needs when you plant it.
So when you're working with a client, it's very much the landscape that's there. You're working with what's there and the soil that's there to introduce what's familiar rather than putting in things that are unfamiliar. Is that the sort of...
I think when I work, I have to be careful that not to give my client a headache. So I want to, obviously, I try and plant things that are easy to cope with. It depends on the place and the client. I don't want to necessarily face him with a very rare tree, which is not going to be particularly happy in his garden, or that my client doesn't appreciate particularly. So I try and make life easy for my clients, but at the same time, plant interesting combinations of trees and shrubs.
And do you have a favorite time of year when it all kind of really comes together and you just think, oh yes, this is it?
I think probably at the moment my best time is the spring, but I don't know whether that's because, you know, I've just come out of a winter. But I think for me, it's every season has got a terrific excitement. You know, the spring is the small plants and the small details. And then you have the mid-season, which is lilacs and peonies. And then, of course, the roses. I suppose the roses are my favorite period.
And tell me about the book that you've got coming out.
Well, the book is just a list of some of my favorite gardens. And obviously, you know, having worked so much, it's nice to see it in print and to be able to show it to people and to show what I've achieved. And also it's not so much teach, because there isn't much, you know, that would be a different sort of book, but it's just to give people ideas and what you can do in different places.
And what have you got coming up? Are you designing anything at Chelsea? I know you've had enormous success there in the past.
No, Chelsea is finished for me. I think I leave it to younger people. I loved what I had in all 7 gardens, and I've loved every single one of them and was totally passionate about what I did. And the design came out of myself, my being. Nothing was ever imposed. I was very lucky to be given this privilege of actually doing something I really wanted to do, or wanted to try out, or I wanted to design. And no, I don't think I want to do any more Chelsea's. It's the most nerve-wracking experience.
Now, as an interiors editor, I'm obviously fascinated by the interior of your home. Are you as passionate about florals on fabric as you are as florals outside the window, or is it very much a neutral landscape so that your eye is drawn outside to the garden?
Well, I don't know if you've seen photographs of the house. There are quite a lot of flowers, but I think it's because of where we are. And I suppose in my Italian house, it has wonderful frescoes in the walls, but those are of trees and countryside as opposed to flowers. But I think that here I needed to have a very, very warm house with colour. I needed to have colour. And also, I'm very lucky because the sitting room has 4 windows in it. And so you feel that you're in the garden. And I didn't want there to be a difference between the outside and the inside. I think you're right there.
Where are you happiest? I've got an image of you now in your potting shed. But
yes. Yes, I think definitely I'm at my happiest outside. When I can't go out, I don't feel well. I feel tired and I feel that I've missed something very important in my life. So I'm happy outside. And outside, I love my potting shed. I love potting up. I love preparing my compost, finding the right pot to put it in, and sowing seed and then seeing it grow. I mean, that is absolutely wonderful. wonderful for me. But I have to say, I also like to see a new project. I'm very, very excited when I have a new project that I have to think about. Those are my two excitements, actually.
And where is the design studio based?
It's in Pimlico and it's in London. And but at the moment, I'm working from Gresgarth and I go to London once a month.
And how many designers and people do you have working with you?
Well, I used to have a big office, but I've decided I didn't want to have that responsibility anymore. So I have one wonderful designer in the office who runs everything. And then I subcontract to four of my previous landscape architects whom I employed and with whom we have this wonderful relationship. And we're great friends and we love working together. And we've worked throughout COVID as if nothing had happened. You know, they went on site, I went on site sometimes when I could. And we understand each other and we work incredibly well.
And do you go back and visit gardens that you've worked on? Because I'm guessing more than anything, it's watching them evolve that's so exciting.
Yes, it doesn't happen with all my jobs, thank goodness, because otherwise I wouldn't have any time. But I do have, I follow four or five of my gardens, depending on what's going on. Some years there's more following and then it eases off and then something new happens. And so I keep the relationship. I want to keep really my relationship with my clients and very much enjoy it. I mean, it's part of my yearly routine to go back to some of my projects. Yes.
Can I ask if there's anything that really grates when it comes to gardens? Are there things you just think, oh, that's absolutely ghastly, I couldn't do that?
Yes, I mean, I'm sure I can't think of any. The only thing that comes to mind is rockeries. I don't really like rockeries. I find them quite difficult because they usually fill up with weeds. So I immediately look at the disadvantage. I always think that difficulties and present new possibilities. And all jobs are difficult. I don't think I've ever had. And I would be very bored if I just had a sort of flat area and I could do what I wanted. There's always something which is against everything, which actually makes you design something which is interesting.
Do you have other garden designers that you admire or people throughout history that you've taken inspiration from?
Well, I think the garden that's been the most influential for me has been Ninfa. I say this the whole time. It's south of Rome, and that was designed by the owner of the garden. And it's absolutely the most beautiful place in the world. It's paradise on earth, basically. But of course, I admire a lot of designers. I'm always interested in being inspired by people. So whether it's with plants or new ways of planting or ways of dealing with situations or combinations of plants, I always look out for what other people do. And I'm sure they then become part of one, you know, because one takes things in and then you adjust them to your way of doing things. I enjoy always having a new idea. I never like repeating ideas. It doesn't work. It has to belong to the place you're working in and to the people you're working for as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there are an enormous raft of people that are watching you and take their inspiration from you and everything you've achieved. So, Arabella, thank you so much. It's been a real joy to speak to you, and I can't wait to see the book. Thank you.
I hope I've answered all your questions properly. It's been great talking to you. Very nice meeting you. I hope you come to Gresgarth.
I'd be delighted.
Thanks for listening to House Guests from Country and Townhouse Magazine with me, Carol Annett. Don't forget to subscribe to the series on iTunes or Entail, where you can also find images, links and notes to enhance each episode. In the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram at Carol W. Annett and keep up to date on all the podcast news and show notes online at countryandtownhouse.co.uk/podcast.
And please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. For more news and views in the world of interior design, sign up to our newsletter at countryandtownhouse.co.uk, and why not listen in to our sister podcast, Breakout Culture, with Lord Ed Vasey and Charlotte Fruity Metcalf.